Hey, I'm April, and they say laughter is the best medicine. So I'm here to give you a dose of laughs while discussing a range of health issues that impact women on Copay with April Body. And here we accept all forms of payments, okay? Including likes, comments, and shares, and of course, subscribe. And joining me today is the lovely and bubbly Riley Lassen. Hey, girl.
Hello, 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 hello.
So Riley kind of knows the mission a little bit because I started this comedy show called Make Fibroids Funny Again. And then it transitioned into this podcast, which is Copay with April Body. And she's also a comedian. Riley, this is one thing I don't know. Are you from New York?
No. But actually, oh my God, April, today's my anniversary of moving to New York. Six years ago.
Okay.
I moved 6 years ago from South Jersey. I live like 10 minutes from Philly.
I don't know why did I think you were from like Long Island? Where did I get this from?
I think I get Long Island a lot. And I think people sometimes may confuse Long Island and Jersey sometimes. And I'm also a loud Jewish gal. And I think that kind of, you know, you're like, are you Long Island or Jew?
She gotta be from Long Island. She loud, Chad. She's like, Jewish.
You wanted, yeah. So no, but I'm right outside Philadelphia. So it's like 2 hours from New York. But yeah, I moved to New York 6 years ago. I love it. Oh my gosh.
And you do? Okay. Wait, so did you move for comedy?
I moved for acting. I went to acting school. Okay. I got an acting BFA. I was a very serious actor. Moved with my best friend to New York to be an actor. And I did the auditioning. I would bartend, waitress, all that. And then I missed performing. So my mom was like, you should do UCB. You know, like the Upper Citizens Brigade, the improv troupe. Yep. So I did that. I did an open mic night.
Yep.
And my friends were like, you should go and do it. And I did it one time in April. I was like, okay, this is it. This is what I want to do.
Yeah. Do you remember your first 5 minutes, what you talked about?
Yes, I do. I do. I do. I talked about how I was a server at this restaurant and how they thought I looked like Ricky Lake. They thought I'd look like Ricky Lake, and they asked me to sing Good Morning Baltimore, and if I didn't sing it, they wouldn't tip me.
Hold on, so, you're at a restaurant, and somebody's like, hey, sing?
Yeah, this group of ladies, like, oh my God, it's Ricky Lake. I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm only 23, 24 at the time. I'm like, right. Wait, what? Yeah, but... Yeah, they said, if you don't sing, we won't tip you. So I remember talking about that on stage.
Did you sing?
No. My manager said to me, he goes, Riley, if you sang, I would have fired you.
Seriously. I was like, because I'm like, who do you think you are? But also, that could be your side hustle if you want to go to Times Square and be like, those people like, take a picture with me, Ricky Lake.
Or like a singing waitress. Oh, that would be funny. Except I got a taxi pulled over the other day for me, and he was like, I thought I was picking up Ricky Lake. I looked up Ricky Lake, I believe, is in her 50s.
Right? I'm like, sorry, sir. No. Which Ricky?
I guess maybe a couple years ago, but man, I'm 28. I was like, I have to invest in better skincare.
Right? I was like, wait, we talk about 90s Ricky or today Ricky? Because... Don't put that on Riley.
I love Ricky Lake, but like, oh, okay.
Right.
No, yeah, I remember talking about that on stage, and I remember talking. Yeah, I think I just talked. I think I just told that story, like a 5 minute story. I was like, but to me, I thought it was hilarious, and I didn't know what to talk about. So
coming up with the first 5 minutes is like when I first started doing it. I mean, 5 minutes was like an hour to me, like trying to be on stage for 5 minutes. That would freak me out. Was it easy for you?
It's funny because I love being on stage so much that it's crazy because, you know when you don't know something, you kind of go the – you don't know – once you dive deeper in something and you know the issue. Like, now that I'm 5 years in, I'm like, oh, I know I'm doing wrong on stage now. So I get off stage and I'm critiquing myself, right?
Right.
5 years ago when I'm on stage, I'm like, that was fun. Because you don't know, you don't know as much. So, like, I just had so much fun. And it wasn't as stressful as it is now. I also thought every time you do a new show, you have a new set.
Oh, that's stressful as hell. What? So yeah. Even at open mics, Riley, or just shows, you were like, oh, I've got to do another 5 or 10.
Yeah, every show. And I was doing, like, in the very beginning, I remember I did, like, 3 bringers. Because I didn't, you know what I mean? I was like, oh, this is how you do it.
Right,
like,
yeah.
Each bringer I did a new 5. I was like, I have so much material.
Right.
I was writing so much. But I remember Anthony Moore told me, he's like, whoa, 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 whoa. No, you need to work on your...
Right.
He's like, stop. He's like, no, you need to be working on your 5, on your 10. You don't come in with new thing, a whole new set every time. I was like, oh.
Yeah, because okay, you got to work it out. You're just like, all right, guys, here we go. That's right. Funny that, like, you said, before you were like, just going with the flow didn't matter, but now it's harder. And it's the opposite for me. Like, it was stressful in the beginning, and now I'm just like, whatever. I just show up.
Okay, so you go on stage and you're like, okay, let's see what happens.
Yeah, like, I have my set, and it's just like, the way that I used to, like, script it. Like, I used to be so scripted when I first started and be like, okay, I got to do it like this and do it like this. And now I'm just like, we're going to write it on stage. You know, it's like, because now you get comfortable and you're just like, I know I'm funny. Like, I know I got a solid set. So now it's day and night how I used to be in the beginning and how I am now.
That's such a good way, like, being able to go up there and just say, like, okay, let's see how this works. I know I'm funny. Let's, you know, like, let's just work this out and see where the jokes are. Because, like, I'll still go up sometimes and I feel it where it's like, if I don't feel like they're liking my stuff, I'll lean into it and I'll go too hard. And that's where I...
Oh, you don't like it? All
right. Right, no. And I usually I go in the other way of, they have to like me. Like, oh, I go in that direction. And that direction, they know, they know your, they feel your fear. They smell your fear. Mm-hmm. No. They're like, uh-oh, she's going into her good stuff for us. Like,
right.
So I kind of do that, and it's like, okay, sometimes you don't need to do that, and you have to go up there and just kind of, like, do your thing and not worry.
Because sometimes, you know, you'll lose sleep over a bad set, but then I have to be like, it wasn't like I was at an industry showcase. Like, I won't see these people again. But then I'm lying. Yeah, I'll be at church. I was at church recently, and this girl was like, oh, I liked your set. I'm like, ooh, thank God I didn't bomb that night.
Oh, my God. That's when someone sneaks up on you like that. My uncle went surprised me. He works in the Bronx. He surprised me at my second ever show ever in comedy. And he came, and I had my first ever blowjob joke.
Hey, uncle.
And he came up to me after, and it was like, it was an intense one. It was my second time ever on stage. I remember he came up to me, he goes, hi, Riley. I was like, hey. Ever since then, it's just been like, okay, that's what Riley does. They, like, just know. They all just are like, they've accepted the fate of what is my, you know, set. But, you know, I have all male cousins. I have a brother. On both sides, like, all guys. So I think that they're, in the beginning, they're like, oh, wow, Riley's out here just, you know, talking about a lot of sex.
Right, a lot of, like, sex.
Not even sex. She's dirty. And it's like, I think it kind of brought out this other side of my family that I really like. Because I think it's opened them up. I really appreciate that. And that, like, I've had a lot of issues, like, the vaginismus I have the PCOS, polycystic ovary syndrome.
Right.
And it has a lot to do with down there. And I think our family kind of had to, like, listen more than usual.
So speaking of that, you said PCOS, and you said what was the other thing that you had?
Vaginismus.
Vaginismus. So did you, when you started speaking up about that, did you speak up through comedy? Did you talk about those issues you had before stand up, or that made you more like open to talk about what you've been dealing with?
With vaginismus, I got diagnosed right before I moved to New York City. And it was weird. I'm not embarrassed about it. I'll talk about anything. When I was 12, I was the first one to tell everyone I got my period, right? Like, I was so excited. I'm so open, but for some reason with vaginismus, you go to physical therapy to help you relax.
Can you explain what that is, and then, okay.
Oh, sure. No, it's a tightening of your vaginal muscles during penetration of, and it's with anything. Could be sex, could be putting in a tampon, anything like that, right? So it's psychological, it's your muscles, and you kind of have to relax your body, relax everything to allow penetration. And I wasn't having sex. I was 23. I was still not having sex. It hurt so much. I didn't know the reason. We finally figured it out, my gynecologist. Right. After years of like, you should just drink some wine during sex. You know, like, just relax.
That is my main issue with going to the doctor. It takes them years to figure out what's wrong with us. You know what I mean? It's like, wait, drink wine.
Right. And it's sad because it's like, I knew something was, you know, when you know something's wrong with your, you know something's not right. And it's like, you're trying, you don't know how to explain it. And I didn't know how to explain it because my friends didn't really, they were probably just, you're just picking guys with big dicks. Stop it.
Yeah, stop that, girl. Stop trying to have fun and get you a little micro penis.
But I also felt awkward being like, but guys, I also don't use tampons. Like, I didn't know how to open up about that. But when I moved to New York, I started therapy to get me ready for physical therapy for vaginismus because it's invasive. It's like, you know when you rub out like your muscle, like your leg muscle, rubbing it out with a tennis ball, it's the same thing, right?
You do that, or your physical therapist does that?
It's a physical therapist. She's inside, relaxing those muscles, desensitizing the muscles. Ooh, it's super invasive. Not all physical therapy is like this. There's other ways you can, you know, help vaginismus, but it costs money. It costs money. It doesn't go through insurance because healthcare loves women. So my mom was like, well, we'll help you because you have to have sex. You know what I mean? Like, and it was weird hearing my mom be like, you have to have sex.
Well, no, you want to enjoy it. Like, you don't want to have to. Right.
Yeah, she felt bad. But then, you know, my dad, you know, was like, wait, what are these bills for Riley calling like vaginismus? Like, what is it?
Why are we paying for Riley's vagina? She already has one. What's going on?
Paying for Riley to be a whore? Like, what's happening? What is?
And it's like, no, Dad, this is deeper, right? Which they don't understand at first, right?
At first, but I remember we were in the car and he said to me, he was like, Rye, you know, we'll help whatever you need to do. We just want you to be happy. Like, he said in a way that was like, he didn't outright say like, have fun with your, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
He was very like, I'm sorry you're going through this, but we're here for you. And I think that opened the door to me being able to talk about it on stage and me being able to show my sexual side on stage because like, I don't know. It's like, I had this like weird, like, it's okay. Go ahead now. Like, you got this. Like, you're figuring it out. You know what's wrong with you. Talk about it. Because for the longest time, I wasn't talking about it. I was talking about everything else with my friends except what was wrong with me and why I was not having sex. And I kept that in for so long that I was finally able to talk about it. I think that's why people are like, oh, you're so sexual on stage. I'm like, well, for the longest time, I felt like I felt like I couldn't. I felt like part of me was not right, was something was wrong. And I'm like, oh, something is okay. Like, and I've been able to help myself. So that's the vaginismus story. And I do talk about it on stage every so often.
That's good, because it's like, you, I think, are the second person I've heard. Like, I didn't even know what this was until recently, because another friend opened up and talked about her issues with it. I'm like, oh, wow. But I can see why that would be something that you don't, you know, I guess that's the whole issue, too. I think with women, we don't talk about a lot of things, and then we internalize it and try to be like this strong mm-hmm. woman. And then when we do try to speak up, it's dismissed. So you're probably helping other people by talking about it on stage. So,
right. And you know what's so crazy? April, yeah. The first time I talked about it was at the Grizzly Pear mm-hmm. in front of 15 dudes, like from NYU.
Yeah, yeah.
15 dudes. Because we were talking about something, and they mentioned a comment about, like, they were being raunchy. It was a late night show, whatever. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I told them, I was like, guys, like, I just had sex, like, 2 months ago for the first time. And they all got quiet. They all were like, how old are you? And right. I told them all about it, and, you know, through stories and jokes and everything. And they were so, they listened. Like, they laughed, yeah. but they listened. And afterwards, two of them came up to me, and one said, my girlfriend has this. I think it's cool you're talking about this. Like, I've never told the guys about it. Right. But, like, my girlfriend has this, and it's really hard for her. So thank you for talking about it. And this other dude was like, thank you for telling me, because sometimes, like, you get nervous because, like, I have to breathe through sex in the beginning. Like, I have breathing exercises. And he goes, I don't ever want to hurt someone. He goes, that's the last thing I want to do. So what can I do to help? Like, he was asking me for, like,
advice. Wow, look at you. Like,
yeah. And the rest, you know, went to drink at the bar, and they're like, oh, great job. But I was like, okay, that's cool. Like, that was a room full of dudes that were like, okay, cool. Vaginismus? We didn't know about that.
I love that. Yeah. So is with the physical therapy, is that ongoing? Is that something you have to continue to do for the rest of your life?
You know what? I did it for a year. Mm-hmm. I did it for a year, and she gave me homework to do. Like, you know how, like, physical therapy, there's homework and you have to keep up. You have to use dilators, and the dilators help you keep, you know, desensitizing your vagina, everything like that. Okay. And I could not use the dilators for the life of me, because, you know, when someone gives you a shot, that's one thing, but when you have to give yourself a shot, you know the pain. So I'm still working through that. I sometimes think about going back every once in a while. You know, if I've had sex for a long time, I'm like, you know what, maybe I should go back, just so when I do have sex, I feel confident, I feel like I can get through it, you know what I mean? Not get through it. That sounds like, you know what I mean, but like
push through it. No, I get it.
But make sure I feel good, right?
No, I totally get that, because I mean, I had endometriosis, so which is painful. Oh my sex. God. Mm-hmm. So it does, like, especially in the beginning. Like, I was 24 when I lost my virginity, so you're already going through.
April, we're the same age.
Yeah, so you're already going through, like, oh, this is my first time as a grown woman trying to, like, do this. And then, but I didn't even know I had, like, you, I didn't, well, I didn't know I had endometriosis until, well, I thought I had it, but then sex solidified that something was definitely up, because I was like, this hurts. What is going on? And it wasn't just,
oh, wow, that's, I'm a virgin. Kind of, like, oh, wow.
Yeah. It's because the doctors were just like, oh, we think it is, but we don't want to diagnose it. But then when I was having painful sex, that was, like, the last symptom of endometriosis that I was like, oh, no, I definitely got, this is it. And I'm like, if I can't enjoy my sex life, wait a minute.
It's like, this is the last, and this is the last straw.
But you already have to deal with, like, painful periods, like, all this other stuff, and now I can't have sex? Like, I'm like, no, throw the whole uterus away. Like, no. We're not doing this.
Throw it all away. And it kind of makes you feel like, I don't know if, you know, and also, I think that's also what's going with the PCOS and anything that has to do with, you know, the anatomy and all that, but it made me feel kind of less than, in a way. Like, I felt like I wasn't whole. I don't know. Is that a weird way of saying it?
No,
I don't know if I'm saying
absolutely.
It correctly.
That's how you feel. Like, no, you feel less, like, as a woman, you want to be feminine, you have your sexuality, you want to embrace that, but that's something you can't embrace when you're not even comfortable with yourself because it's your body working against you, basically, to not let you enjoy it.
Right, I got angry at it. I was like, why are you mad at me right now? Like, what did I do? Why can't you let me enjoy sex like my little friends? Like, what's happening? But no, that's crazy. And at 24 too, like,
So how did you know you had PCOS? When was that diagnosed?
So PCOS was when I was, that was in college. That was in college, end of high school. I think college, I get those years kind of, because I was also diagnosed with celiac and that's a whole other ball game. But like the PCOS, my hair started falling out. Like thinning very badly in high school, and I was insulin resistant, so my blood sugar, everything was just like my levels weren't right. I was put on birth control at a young age because I had cysts on my ovaries, and they would pop when I was 14 13 14 15, and then they put me on birth control to help me with the cysts. And then I started getting all the PCOS symptoms, you know, the hairy arms, the hair on the face, the hair loss, the weight gain, the, you know, all the insulin resistance, all the things was, you know, I mean, the fatigue, the tiredness, it was all, you know, I mean, the insomnia, all of this was just like, I was checking off all the symptoms. So they're like, yep, you have it. But again, but then, you know, right now, I think there's a lot more ways to find ways to help you. But then the doctor was like, okay, here's a diabetes medication and birth control and try to lose weight and you should be good.
Okay, so I have a couple questions. First of all, is there a test for PCOS? Or you just have to do the same thing? Like back for me with endometriosis, it was like you have to just, they just wait until you check off all the symptoms, basically.
So yes, I think pretty much. Okay. I think pretty much there's like, do you have at least three of these major symptoms? And I think especially, because not all PCOS patients have cysts on their ovaries. I don't think that has to be a factor. That is a huge factor. Right. But like the insulin resistance, the weight gain, the hair thinning, insomnia, hormonal acne, like all those things are contributing towards PCOS. But I had all the, I was like, check. But I didn't take it seriously when I got diagnosed. Because I took the medication they told me. So I was like,
what medication did they give you? What did they treat? Besides birth control, what else do they give you? Is it specifically for PCOS?
If you look it up, it is a diabetes medication. It's called metformin. But A lot of PCOS patients, they get put on metformin right away. And I've been taking metformin for years. And finally this year was kind of the year that I was like, I need to take my PCOS seriously because my symptoms, April, got so bad in the last 5 years. And I know, like, we know with comedy and life, you just stress, and you're not eating as well as you should. Not even eating as well, but not if
I schedules are crazy. You're getting home at like 10-11 o'clock and like, I want dinner now. Like
exactly. You're later, like, I only got 2 hours of sleep. I ate once today. My stress level is high. I didn't exercise. And you know, like all those things are gonna make you gain weight with PCOS like that. Like it, like a drop of the hat. So the last couple months, I've been gaining, and I'm like, why can't I? What's happening? And I started taking this Ovicitol. It's a supplement. So instead of the metformin, I'm taking a supplement, and I'm trying to get the sleep, and I'm trying to eat like how a PCOS person should be eating. Like, I'm trying to do it. All these things, a lot of supplements you should be taking, the magnesium, zinc, all these things that, you know, a nutritionist could prescribe you. You know, you talk to your nutritionist or doctor. But I'm like, I gotta do this right, because it started to affect me big time.
Yeah, and so, okay, so I read too, is it having too much of a male hormone? Is that the problem? Okay.
Yeah, it was funny. I was hanging out. I think it was a bunch of the dudes. I think Dre was there too. And I think we looked it up one time because they asked what it was. Because they asked about my wigs. We were talking about my wigs. And they were talking about PCOS. And they go, oh, so that's why you can hang with guys? Because you got this extra. I hate you guys. Like, symptoms, hair loss, weight gain, can hang with the guys. Like, I hate you.
One of the bros.
I was like, no. Okay, first of all, no.
Not even the same. Y'all could, like, they couldn't walk a mile in our panties. They couldn't. It would hurt. Okay? They could not.
But I was like, that's kind of, that's pretty funny. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Have you had a cramp? No. Okay. The wigs. How long have you been wearing wigs?
I bought my first wig ever in the lockdown. During lockdown, I finally was like, you know what? I have time to learn how to, you know.
I know, right?
We wear them. Let me buy it. And the first wig I bought, April, it was not cute.
The first wig experience is always.
Oh my god! Oh, and my best friend, she wears wigs, and she's like, "Rye, let me send you a link of where I shop."
She's like, "Let me help you out, girl."
Right?
She's like, "Where do you shop? What's the link? Share the information in case people want to know. Where do you shop for wigs?"
Oh, let me bring it up because I love them so much.
Cause you're wig game, girl. Let me tell you, you be wearing different colors. So cute.
Oh, that means a lot. I'm obsessed with I now I'm like and I go to is it Get Slay? Oh my god, see there's so many things. Get Slay, it's in Brooklyn, it's a salon. Trisha does my hair. She'll install it.
Nice.
Yeah, Get Slay Beauty Bar and Spa. It's in Crown Heights.
Okay.
I love her. And she's helped me the most. Since I've gotten wigs, like she showed me like what lace to get, the cap size,
blending,
like I finally kind of figured it out. Yeah. So, but I go to where is it? AFSisterWig.com, and that's where I've been getting a lot of my wigs. Okay. I do love them. I do. I was like, I buy so many wigs from them. I have to start posting about them. Maybe I can get a free one.
You should, girl. Start doing TikToks.
I know. Yeah.
I just started wearing wigs just because. But my first one, it was just like shiny. And I feel like back when I was shopping for wigs, they weren't what they are today. Like I look like one of the church, like old church ladies. It was like shiny and flipped up. Like my name should have been Shirlene. Nope. And it was just such a bad look. It took me a while to figure out.
Yeah. And like, did you do so many different styles, or like when you mm-hmm. started, you were like, let me stick to this one.
Right. Then style. You find one, like I'll just get it in different colors or the same color. Right. Like I was scared. Cause I was also, you know, working a certain job. So I was like, oh, I gotta look, you know, professional, I guess. So I would just watch YouTube videos and then be like, okay, she looks like me. I'm gonna order the wig she got. But then you'll get it. It look crazy. Like, oh, she styled it. I just thought you pulled it out the pack. Like, oh, you gotta do things. You gotta like do your hair, basically. I was like, oh, okay. Why is it just sitting on top of my head?
This is what I did. I pulled it out the pack when I first got it in lockdown. I put it on my head and my dad goes, I think you have to do more. I think there's more to it.
And it is.
I was like, oh, there is more to it. And And that's why I have a joke, and I love saying it on stage about how I was hooking up with the dude and he pulled the wig off because I didn't know. Like I really
Was
now
not
I'm like, oh my
secure.
God, the securing of
Secure the wig, girl.
I was
Secure.
throwing it on. Yeah, like it's a hat. I was throwing it on like a beanie. I'm like, oh no.
Not in this New York wind. I know, like, when it's windy, I would like put my head down and pretend I'm on the phone and then hold my head so the wig would stay. I'm like, ooh, hope
When comics hug me sometimes, like when you get a hug
Yep.
and they hug you and they're
Get
tall and
stuck.
they hug you well, the fear, I was like, if this wig comes off right here in this club, I will never like this is it for me. Like
About you, but like I'll look like set it off, like I'll look like Queen Latifah underneath the wig. So like it cannot come off, like this could not happen to me. Not today. I can't be looking crazy.
I wear the ball cap and my hair, it's hard because I used to wear in college, it was getting really bad in college, my hair, very thin and very falling out, very, very thin. And I started putting in this thing called Topic. Do you know Topic? What this is?
No, wait, the store?
No, so it's this little like powder and you
Oh,
put it
no.
on your hair. For people who are having thin hair, honestly, it saved my life all through college. In the beginning, when I moved to New York, like it really makes your hair look like you have hair, but it's powder, right? And oh my God, I was putting so much on my head. I was putting so much on my head. I went on this date with this guy. He picked me up in his car, and he hit a bump. And my head hit the car, like the top of the car, and the powder hit the ceiling. So now I looked up and I'm like, oh my gosh, the powder that I put in my head is on his car because I hit the. I was like, oh, this is not good. And then I hooked up with this dude and he put his hands through my hair and he took out his hands and it was all this black powder.
It was like the Jersey Housewives when the Gorgons were fighting.
Yes, 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 yes. Okay, Housewives. Okay,
Right, I love the Housewives. Sorry.
Housewives is my oh my God. Housewives is all the way. But like, that's literally it. I couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't. I just and sometimes if it got some of the powder would come off, some would stay on. You look like you had like lice in your hair because it was like, oh my gosh, it was a finally I was like, I'm done. I'm done with this with this
Right, and you
powder.
went to wigs. Oh my goodness. It's crazy the things we have to go through and deal with, though. Like we laugh now, but it really it's just, for me, it gave me like insecurity. Like my hair, wearing wigs was like a whole different reason why I wore them, but just the insecurities and just the heightened insecurity what you're dealing with is just insane.
You're right with the insecurities. Like the amount of times, like you like this sounds like so intense, but like the amount of times I've cried before going out. It's kind of like this is like not funny, but like the amount of times that I've been like, wow, I don't feel confident at all in what I'm looking like. Like I know what this could be so much better. That's why like this week. So last night I went to this wedding, right? And the amount of times I got compliment, like, oh my God, Riley, like that's so cool. Like it was such a positive, right? It was just so positive, and I felt so pretty. Like I don't know. I just like it changes your whole everything. You don't know how much it changes until you're like, oh, this is what I needed, and it's okay. Some people don't, and that's
No,
that's
you
your
need
thing.
that. You need it
But
gave
you
you
need
like the
that.
validation. Like the years of crying and the tear and like you it took you your journey to get to this point to find out what to do with your hair, how to basically cope and find a survival way to live with what you're living with. and be thanked for. It's like, finally, because you don't know what I would go through at night to get here today.
Right. And does it with the end, like what you have and what I have, like there's so much deeper things with it and mm-hmm. the pain and everything else that you experience. And then it's like, all I see is, oh, so Riley wears wigs for her PCOS. It's like, well, that too.
Right. Yeah. Like, okay. Yeah. That's one thing. Pieces. Right. So that's not even scratching the surface.
Right. And so much other things that they don't know, you know, the doctor's appointments, the pain, the medication, the, all these things. But all they see is, oh, Riley got a new wig.
It's cute now. Like, no. Okay.
No, everything's fixed. We're good. Like, I get a new wig. PCOS who? Vaginismus what? I have a new wig.
Like, I don't know you. I don't know you, PCOS. This is a new wig today.
Right. What do I have? I got nothing. This is, oh, I love it. I'm getting a new wig for my cousin's wedding in May. And I'm like, that's going to be my, like, a goal wig. Like, I have a wig. A goal wig. That's
like, like a price point, like is this gold wig like more than you normally spend on wig? Like, what's your wig budget?
It's in the beginning, when I had a gray paying job, it was when I worked on the radio, it was like I was spending like $400 on wigs, at least $450. Okay. And now I'll try to like go for like a $250. Like a 250, 300 wig, but especially because of length too. And I'm realizing too, I was getting all these long wigs because I wanted long hair. And then I'm like, yeah. Oh, wait, I could go short too. Cause it's like, it's like if I had hair, like if I had all this hair. So now I'm like, oh, I got this short wig the other day and oh my God, I'm obsessed with it. And I was like, I didn't think about wearing short wigs. I was wearing all these long wigs.
I mean, that's the beautiful part of wigs. You really, because I would attach personalities to the different wigs. So it's just like, oh, I'm whoever today because it's blonde. You know, it's just like.
Right. You have a favorite one?
I do. It's like this curly wig. Because even my friend, we were at the Super Bowl and I put that wig on. I was like, who is this girl? Like, you're the same girl I went here on the plane with, with your locks. Like, I don't know. I just put it on and I think I'm like Chaka Khan. And I'm just like, yes, world, I have arrived. Like, it's just certain wigs that give me extra whatever versus
yes,
when I'm
just regular.
And I'm just like, excuse me, let me do it, please.
Right. As soon as I put my hair up, like, with a cap on, I'm like, okay, just living my life. And then I have this blonde, this like Jewish blonde wig, and I'm like, oh, watch out.
Yes.
Extra toxic tonight. Extra toxic.
Let's see. Okay, so what about like tips, cures? Is there anything that alleviates your pain or helps at all with PCOS?
With PCOS, so there's a nutritionist I also follow. Let me pull her up as well. On Instagram, that really, really became so helpful. Let me find her. I believe it's her husband or her fiance. Okay. They're great, and he's like a training coach. Like he does training, and she's a nutritionist. It's PCOS.weightloss. Okay. And she, you know, she's a dietitian and everything. And I found her like some, you know, thank God sometimes for TikTok and Instagram and all that. Cause like,
yes.
There's so many like things I'm like, I didn't know that about PCOS. Like so me many different fan. Things.
Yeah. So like TikTok so many. Is like my therapist now. I'm like, right? What?
Right. Cause you find things you're like, oh, I didn't know that about that. So I was on her page and I was looking for a while. And like you said, is there a cure? Is there ways to help it? And that's what I'm doing right now. It's a lot. You know, it's hard because when you tell someone diet, they're like, oh, I got to change my whole life. It's like, no. Mm-hmm. It's like if you eat a certain way to help your PCOS and if you go online, they'll tell you, you know, best ways to eat,
yeah.
Your sleeping schedule, supplements you should be taking, because you're lacking all these you're lacking all these supplements. You're lacking so much. Your vitamin D, you're lacking a lot. You're lacking so much. And everybody's different. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I'm different than someone else with PCOS. But
right.
when you really work on it, you feel so, you're the energy. And you know what it is? It's the energy. I could sleep for days. I would stay in bed for days. My energy is all time low. My mood swings, the insomnia. Like, I've been getting my periods the same time every time because of my birth control. Okay. And I've been reading a lot about, you know, the effects of birth control. And I've been on it since I was 14. Mm-hmm. So it's been 14 years.
Oh, no. Birth control is the devil to me. But mm-hmm. like you, I was on it too. I think by 15 or 16, I was on it. They're like, oh, let's put you on it for endometriosis. And then I okay. was off and on for forever. But then I was just like, the side effects are so, like, sometimes they're worse than the symptoms you have.
Right.
And, the thing is, my blood pressure was high on it too. So it was like, this isn't good.
I don't even know anymore. And that's what's so scary. That's why I don't like. I don't even know anymore what my life is without it. Because I've been on it most of my life.
So like, for the fact I've been on it for half of my life. Because I read with PCOS, your periods, it's either heavy or you may not have periods. But if you're on birth control,
I didn't have mine. Yeah, I stopped having my period. Mm-hmm. Okay. I fully stopped. And my doctor said to me, I remember she said to me, she goes, Rye, do you want your period? Because I went in because I didn't have my, I wasn't having my periods and I was having cysts. And I said to her, I was like, it was either one or the other, right? And she said to me, do you want your period? And I said, what? She goes, we can jumpstart it and you can have your period. We'll put you on a different type of birth control. And that's what we'll just keep doing. And I was so confused when she said, do you want your period? At 14, 15 years old. It was such weird.
You don't even know. Like, you just got your period 2 days. You know what I mean? It's like, I just started. Your body,
I just got the other day. What are you talking about?
Right? How do you make those decisions at that age? Right.
She said to me, and a big thing, and I know this is common with so many issues down there, it's infertility, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, oh, so you also, that's also a thing too?
That is a huge, mm-hmm. and a lot of times these doctors, and this is what she kind of said to me too, was here's metformin, the diabetes medication. Let's jumpstart your period. You'll get your period. And when you want to have a baby, come back and have a baby, come back and we'll just.
So until you want kids, then they'll revisit the whole, you'll mm-hmm. find out if you'll be struggling with, that's a whole nother thing. Because it's like, you won't know, but then that may be something else you have to deal with down the road, whether or not you
have kids. That's why I said to her, I'm like, wait, should I have my period? Because would it be helpful? Like, if I don't have my period for years, and I want to have a baby, is that going to mess it up?
And she I don't think it does, from what I remember.
I got scared, though. I was like, I don't know, it doesn't feel right.
It doesn't, because, like, I mean, as much as, you know, we hate our periods, it's still, you should have them. You know what I mean? It's like, it's a necessary
evil. Right, right. I feel like I'm missing it. It should be having. Right, and I feel like with you, it's the other way. Like, I was having no periods.
I'm just flooding for both of us.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Wait, that's what it is. It's just us, like, giving each other, like, here you go.
Yeah, I'll tag it for you for this, Riley. I got you, girl.
15 was a breeze. Thank you.
Right. Oh my god. Well, endometriosis was different, like, because I had that before fibroids. So endometriosis, it was just like, I feel like endometriosis and PCOS are kind of similar with certain things, with it just being like hormonal or whatever. Yeah, because you have the cysts, but then endometriosis is like the way the tissue grows around different cervix or uterus or whatever. But period wise that wasn't really the main problem for me. My periods were fine. It was just
painful. Oh, they were fine?
Yeah, my periods were like regular, like high school periods. I mean, they would last for like 5 days. So
okay, like a like regular kind of cycle.
But I would have PMS symptoms 2 weeks before. So I would have pain of my life. No. I'd be fighting for my life. And then my period come, it'd be a breeze. Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh, see, like I used to work with these male co-hosts of this like co-workers, and they would always be like, women, you know, they want to take off from work for their periods. And I'm like, you guys get the sniffles. And it's like, okay. I gotta take off. Right? Like they're like, oh, how bad can it be? Oh, I was like, God. Excuse me, like they're going to have to be hospitalized. Like, what are you talking about? I was like, I'm very lucky that I come in because, like, oh, Riley, is it that bad? I'm like, I'm not every woman. Like,
it is like, that bad, okay? It is. There's no argument.
Yes. I was like, first of all, I hate it. I said, but yeah. I'm very lucky that, you know, I'm not in, my cramps aren't, it's not painful. I said, but there are women out there that this is, 2 weeks of suffering. Like, how dare you? Yeah. I got so angry.
Like, some men, like you said, there are men, like you did your show. Like, there's some men who are very open and understanding, and there's some who would just never get it and not even, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy how there are dudes that are super, like, with the vaginismus. Sometimes I'll explain, like, April, having to explain to a guy sometimes, like, in the very beginning, it was very awkward. But then I realized, I was like, you know what? I'm going to have to explain to them what's going on. Like, I need to breathe. And we need to, like, take some deep breaths together. I need to relax my body.
Like, yeah, so what is that like when you are dating? Because I know for me, when I had endometriosis and had painful sex, like, I was screaming in pain. He's like, am I killing you? Because I'm like, ah! You know? And it's like, how do you sit down and have that conversation? For me, that I was at least in a relationship, and then I had surgery.
Oh, okay.
But it's hard if you're single and have both of those things going on. How do you have different conversations with different partners? Of like, hey, how does that conversation go?
And right. It's funny with that conversation. Like, I feel like I have to have like two types of conversations when I'm hooking up with a new guy. Mm-hmm. The one is like, I'm wearing a wig, so please don't pull it off. Like, don't.
It's like, I love how, like, this is Six Flags. And so these are the rules before we get on the ride.
Seriously, I was like,
keep your hands inside the ride, okay? don't lift them up.
Don't lift anything. Don't touch, don't lift. Yeah. Right? Like, you should be 6'5 to enter this ride.
Yep, 6'5. No, your income has to be. Credits for, and right. Then after all those things, by the way, don't touch my hair.
Your credits for.
Let's meditate before we need to take some breaths.
Oh my God, April. No, but it's like, I have to have these like two, it's weird. It's like, I don't want to, you meet somebody and you don't want to be like, here's my issue. It's like, not your issues, but it's like, here's what I have to.
This is what we have to go. Like, you're hot and heavy. You're ready to go and do this thing. Like, and you're like, oh, but pause before.
By the way, right? Like, right. I don't. My body, because of the vaginismus. I wish I was a hoe. I wish I was out here. Like, I wish. But my body just like, it takes a while to open up, and I think that's why I love. It was a recycled dick. I say it all the time. I love being able to like go back to a guy I used to hook up with, because my vagina is like, oh, we know that dick.
We know him.
Like, we can relax a little bit. And then sometimes, if I know them, they know me, and they know about, you know, my hair. Because like, for the longest time, and I still like, if I don't have a wig on, if I'm out, and like, say if I just put on a cap and pull my like in a little bun. Right, and I'm out, right. And I meet a guy on the subway, and he's so cute, and I'm feeling horny. He's like, "You want to come back to my apartment?" I'm not going to, because I don't have my wig. Like, I'm not going to do that because I don't feel calm. I don't feel, you know, secure. So a lot of times, with dudes, sometimes they'll go on my Instagram and they'll see about my wigs, and I'm like, "Oh, I don't have to explain it." They'll see it, maybe. With the vaginismus, I've gotten very I've gotten very good. I'm very proud of myself that I'm able to, because I know it's very hard sometimes to speak up and say your needs and wants in sex. And I do, I still have trouble with it. But the one thing I am good at is I'll say I, like, when guys are like, when they hear a tight pussy, they're like, oh, yeah. And they're like, no, this is medically tight. Like,
right, this, like, sir, is not, this isn't, yeah, right. This isn't your little not fantasy. Cute. Yeah.
Right, this isn't cute. No one's, like, enjoying this. So, like, I'll explain to them, like, what I need. And, you know, we, in the beginning, you get through it, right? And you work together. And it gets better and better. Next thing you know, you're having great sex. But for me personally. But it's always the beginning that I'm like, okay, let's work through this. But with the wig situation, some guys are really cool. They're like, oh, that's so cool you wear wigs. And some guys are like, wait, so what happens? If I'm like, okay, this is...
Let me tell you, that's the whole, until I got, I think that's, because I think it's very, I'm always like, each one teach one, ladies, with these men. Don't put them back in the streets not knowing, okay? They need to be fully aware when they come to me. And it'd be, right. And so the wig thing, I remember I was, until I got secure with wigs, I would always think too, like, when is it, when do I used to like sleep with my wigs in the beginning when I was dating somebody, so I'd be too scared to be like... So it's like, when do you have that, like, when do I feel comfortable to take my wig off? And then I remember dating this one dude who's like, you gonna go to bed with that? Like, girl, take that off. Put my do-rag on. Like, stop playing. You know? So it's like,
that makes my heart, like, I want to cry when I hear that, because that just sounds, that's love to me. That is.
Yeah, I appreciate when you find the guy who just knows, you know, like, we're like, grow up at this point. The older you get, you do get to the point where it's like, let's keep it real, you know what I'm saying? Like, let's just have conversations. Right. It'll make life so much easier, but we're so scared of having the, because even just, you know, our hair and the pain aside, it's just like, you still gotta, no matter who you're with, you gotta talk about your likes, your dislike, what pleases you, what doesn't please you. So it's like, let's just have all the conversations. But it's still, like I said, the wig thing, and then the endometriosis thing, and for you, like, also, if I may have to tell you to stop. Like, have you ever had that where you had to be like, listen, if it gets too painful, I may have to be like, you know, do you have like words or something that you have to do to?
We'll definitely be like, okay, we've tried enough. This is not, it's not working right now. I'm in pain. You look like you're struggling. This is not
right. That's struggle sex, girl. The struggle sex is the worst. Like, y'all both want it, but you can't.
No, yeah. It's like we're trying. I see we're both trying. Yes. We're both trying to get there. But it's not work. And like, and you know what? This too. I with the whole like with the sleeping and the wig situation. I think the last two times I hooked up with the dude, it was my wig and a baseball cap. Like, I was just going out, like meeting some friends, and then I ended up going over this dude's house, and I was like, oh no. This is nothing. Like, this is going to come off. Like, this is definitely going to come off.
You're like, oh, no.
This is going to happen. And I think I was, we were in the middle of hooking up, and all of a sudden I had this weird, like, okay, it is what it is. Like, he's, we're already hooking up. Here, he knows I wear wigs. Like, it is what it is. Like, it's coming off. Here we go. Like, it's weird because I have this like gut. I get this like gut feeling, and I know it's from past like guys saying stuff to me, and like,
and that's what it is. Yeah,
it is. It's like you get these like flashbacks, and like April, like I had this guy who we were friends with for over 10 years. I really liked this dude. He liked me. We were friends, and we decided to like go on a date to try it out. Just to see. This was before, right before COVID. I wasn't wearing wigs yet. I was putting that topic in, you know, the hair stuff, you know. And we went on the date. Everything's going great. And he goes, let's go back to your place. And we try hooking up. It's awkward because we're, you know what I mean? Like, I was surprised we were even hooking up. But I remember in the morning, he looked at me and he goes, are you doing anything about your hair? And I was like, wait, what? He goes, your hair. And I was like, oh, you know, it's been like He's known me for almost 10 years now.
So he knows your whole history. So don't.
He knows my history.
Yeah.
He said, "Are you anything about your hair?" And you know, if it was like just a guy that I met at the bar with at the night before, I would have been like, "Man, that hurts." But like, who are you? Like, why are you? This guy I trusted. Mm-hmm. He was my friend, and in that moment. We're in this bed together, very vulnerable.
Yeah.
And you go, are you doing something about your hair? And it just like, oh, it was like my, oh, I feel like I got hit in the stomach. Like,
yeah.
What do you mean about my hair? And I think about that all the time. And we don't talk anymore. Cause like, he also said in the very beginning when we were hooking up, he goes, you know, if you went to the gym, you get a butt. Maybe you should go to the gym more. Like, he was trying to, like, he was trying to, like, kind of move me in a way. And I was like, I don't like this. I don't like it at all. The hair comment, it stays. It still stays with me. I still have to, like, kind of shoo it away sometimes.
No, because those moments, unfortunately, will... I don't want to say like shape your experiences, but it will create like a uphill battle until you just push it away. Cause like my ex who I lost my virginity to when I was 24, it was like, I don't know, weird relationship, but those type of men, you don't realize that they're actually insecure because even though I lost my virginity to him, he would make me feel bad. Cause one day I was trying to pinpoint where some of my insecurities came from, because I really was very confident in myself until him. And it wasn't until he would like point out my flaws. Like when you like being like, oh, you know, you have stretch marks. Like, you think I don't see my body every day? And he like would love to, you know, pinch little pockets of fat. And like, even with sex, he would like get frustrated sometimes. And it wasn't until I realized like the way he used to nitpick at me, that gave me insecurity. So I'm like, I guess every man I sleep with now is going to judge everything about me. But the funny thing is, my dad, he would always tell me, like, men don't care. He's like, listen, when men want something, they're not looking. I feel like women are more, women will diagnose your body and look at everything more than men. Like, they just have that one agenda. They can care less about that extra stuff. So that always gave me the confidence, because I have a huge birthmark that takes up like half my back, half my ass. And I was always self-conscious of that. And my parents were like, girl, if a man worries about that, that's not the man you need. Because that's the wrong thing suggest.
Right. They're looking at the wrong, like, why? Yes. And then I don't know. I feel like when they could turn it into like, this is a part of you. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful in a way. Like, we go through all the stuff we're going through, April, I think, because we're both, and like, it's gonna, like you said, kind of shape us to who we are. Mm-hmm. Like, we had to both go through it to make ourselves, this is who we are, this is what we struggled with, this is how we got through it, this is how we're stronger. And if you can't accept that,
we don't need you.
We don't need that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and then again, we're like, oh, these are weak, insecure men. Because they're only doing that because they know they want to get you to their level. And it's like, no, I'm not. Oh, you know, you shouldn't even. I wasn't even on your level in the first place. And so now you're trying to bring me down and make me feel a certain way. And it's like, no. Yeah, so it took me a while to not have that stigma that I attach to my beauty now. Like, oh, guys aren't gonna like me because I have this. It's
like... right. And you know what, like, I think sometimes it's so easy to be like, oh, the guy, like, guys aren't gonna like that. But sometimes when it comes from within you, I think that sometimes hurts even more. Like this wedding I went to yesterday, the dress I had, I tried it on and I was gaining weight rapidly with PCOS, and I went to the store to try it on. I didn't have my wig on. I just like threw my hair up in a little, but you know what I mean, like,
yeah.
And I went there and no makeup, and I put on the dress, and I just start crying. I just was like, I said I look awful. I said, I don't look how I look. And my mom, and she, you know, this, she meant this in the best way, and we talked about it. She was like, you know, I had sent her a picture. I was like, I feel yucky, whatever. And she said, Riley, well, once, you know, you have your wig on and your makeup's done and your nails are done, you're going to feel great.
Right.
And it's like, man, but I wish I didn't need all of that to
I
feel,
know, I know.
you
But it's
know,
so true. When you go
it hurts.
shopping, it does.
Right.
Like if your hair, if I look like a bum and I put on something, I'm like, I don't know if this outfit is cute or not. Like I can't tell. I can't tell without lashes. Is
Exactly. I'm like, oh, I need lashes right now. Because yesterday at the wedding,
it?
after my hair was done, my makeup was on, the dresses with the heels, I felt great. I said, is this the same dress? Like my boobs. I texted my mom. I go, oh my God, mom, the dress looks great. She goes, I told you it would be fine. But it's like,
Yes.
oh, but I hated that I felt so insecure and so sad about this dress. I almost apologized to the dress. I was like, the dress is fine. You're beautiful.
It took me, that's another thing that took me a while to learn too, to not associate my beauty to my hair and to my looks, 'cause it would determine my whole mood if my hair wasn't cute and if I didn't have the right makeup on. It's like I had to learn to accept me. It took a long time. And I still struggle a little bit. But it took a long time to be like, this is what it is. Like, I don't know what to tell you. This is how I was born. These are my issues. And I got to just go to Food Town and get my groceries. I don't want to put on a face. Okay?
I'm just here just trying to buy a new pair of pants. This is not
Just want to buy a dress that looks
right.
cute.
That's all I want. And you know what you said before when you asked me about like, oh, about a cure, like how, you get better with PCOS. I think a lot of it is as well is how you're feeling on the inside. And I don't know with you as well, like if I'm not paying attention to my PCOS and I kind of just do everything against it, not only like do I look in the mirror and I'm like, oh, I feel 1,000 times worse than how I maybe look in the mirror, like inside. And like, say I put on my wig and my makeup, I'm still gonna feel terrible because I'm not trying to help myself. I'm not trying to give my like make my body healthy in a way. You know what I mean? Like it's very internal, a lot of this. And I think if we feel shitty, it comes out, oh, 1,000 times more inside. If we feel like that way inside, if we're feeling pain
No.
or hurt or anything, it's and no one knows how you're feeling. No one knows our insides, right? So it's like double, triple of what we're feeling.
That I love that you said that. And I feel like that's also a good place to end it because I feel like the cure, and like you said, and the prescription, I like give funny prescriptions on the copay, but the prescription is our mental health. Like some of that, the cure is how we handle it and what we have to do to feel better about ourselves, to make our bodies feel better, and recognizing, am I doing the thing? Am I eating how I'm supposed to eat? Am I stress eating? Am I taking my supplements? Like, so sometimes the cure is just self-love
Oh,
and
good
giving
feeling.
yourself grace. Like, give enough grace to be like, listen, you're going through these things. Have your little cry moments,
Right. And it's
but
okay.
you're
It's
beautiful
okay.
just how you are. And Riley, you are so beautiful, like inside and out. I love you.
Oh, you as well, Nicole. No, seriously, I needed this. I definitely, this was, I know this is a podcast, but like this was a lovely chat.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to follow Copay with AB on all social media. And hey, if you enjoyed the episode, like, subscribe, share, leave a comment, do all the things, okay? Until next time.